absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to Absolutely Intercultural. This is show number 70. My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you from Denmark, although it has a truly international flavour with insights from four continents today. We'll be going to Turkmenistan to solve an intercultural riddle.
Her parents do not like that their older daughter will speak and be friend with her.
We'll be finding out how Danish fun, fearless female, Signe Møller, was inspired to start her own international charity.
And when I came there, I really felt like I had come home, or my education all of a sudden made so much sense to me. I could see exactly what I needed to be doing there, and I started doing it right away.
And finally, we'll be getting a world view from Nicaragua's ambassador to Denmark, Mr. Ricardo Nogueira.
Because if you are safe in Denmark, you will be safer if Africans or Latin America or people from any border countries, you know, are also safe.
Our first stop is Turkmenistan, from where Zore Ovezlieva mailed us on a completely different topic. As we mailed backwards and forwards, I realized that Zore had a fascinating story to tell, so I first of all asked her to explain her work.
All my life I am teacher and a trainer, and I teach what was the most necessary or the urgent things for that period of time for my country development. And now is Turkmen language for the foreigners and for local people also is very important. Why I say for local people also, because during Soviet Union all the educated people spoke in Russian. And since Turkmen language is now the government language, so all the people must know Turkmen in very short time. So this is what I'm focusing for now. And what I'm doing now, I'm language and cross-cultural coordinator in Peace Corps for 13 years. My task is in very short time, in 10 weeks, help new Americans to speak Turkmen in intermediate level. Also, my responsibility is to help them to adjust to our culture and to help them to make this adaptation, knowing all culture-specific things, culture-general things, and how to make this adaptation to our culture. My future project will be teaching intercultural communication. Why I selected this topic? Because now Turkmenistan opened their our doors for many foreign organizations, and local people have opportunity to go abroad. They do not realize that it might be a big problem to work with the foreigners, because we never thought that it might be other cultures except us. At least we thought that there is only one culture. Before we faced with this problem, there is nobody who teaches them except Peace Corps. And I think that it's very good that our trainees know this knowledge, and also I trained host families and I trained language and cross-cultural facilitators.
What sort of projects do the Americans come over to do?
English, and also they work in the health program to protect the diseases.
We'll be hearing more about how the Peace Corps volunteers get on in Turkmenistan a little later. Now let's go absolutely African. Signe Møller is a chaos pilot who decided to take a career break and ended up setting up her own charity, helping children in Kenya. We'll be learning more about the innovative social business and project management chaos pilot course in a later podcast. Meanwhile, Signe's groundbreaking approach, called 100% to the Children, is based on allowing donors to choose whether the money they give supports the Kenyan projects directly or whether it helps to pay for the administrative backup needed to keep the whole enterprise in the air. This new way of approaching charity work earned her the title of Fun Fearless Female 2008 organized by the Danish edition of Cosmopolitan magazine. How did Senior end up in Kenya in the first place?
Through my education, I've been used to working abroad. I've been in New York, I've been in Barcelona, Cairo, Bangkok, and studied and worked in all of these places. So I was eager to go back out and wanted to try my luck in the developing countries, because I've always found that the way I've always gone in my projects has been non-profit oriented and charity oriented. So I could have applied for a job with the Red Cross or Save the Children or UNICEF or someone else, but I felt like I wanted to try to see what it would be like to try and find the motivation in doing volunteer work instead of working for someone you're getting paid. And also I wanted to go right away. I didn't want to wait. I had some money and I went to South Africa, Kenya and India. And it was an amazing time. It was a really great thing to do, and I did get a lot of contacts, and a lot of job opportunities came from that trip.
But so, how do you do that? I mean, you fly into South Africa, and what happens then?
Well, they've arranged for a lot of things. You basically sign up for a project, and then you meet someone from the organization there, and they take you out there, and then you just start working. I was doing, I would say that would be the luxury part of my trip. I was working with the lion rehabilitation and lion monitoring in both in close to Johannesburg and in the Limpopo area. When I came to Kenya, which was the second placement I had, I was working in an orphanage in an area called Portrice in Mombasa. And when I came there, I really felt like I had come home, or my education all of a sudden made so much sense to me. I could see exactly what I needed to be doing there, and I started doing it right away, and helping them to fundraise, organizing stuff for them, making project plans, making business plans, and this was a very organized place, and one of probably the best funded orphanages in Mombasa, and even that I thought was very poor. So compared to what I found way later, it was a piece of cake.
Yeah.
But I felt really at home in Kenya with regards to my competence and my qualifications, what I can do. I went to India, to Darjeeling, northeast India, and taught English in a primary school for underprivileged children as well. And didn't get the same feeling at all in India, like this was where I was supposed to be working. Obviously, there's a lot of poverty in India as well, and I only saw a very small part of it. But Kenya just, the real Africa, if you can say it like that, just really spoke to me. Also compared to South Africa, which is very structured and just, you know, it's nothing like the rest of Africa. So. Yeah, how did I do it? I just did it.
We'll be hearing more about Senior's project in a moment. Now, here's an intercultural riddle. You go to stay at the home of a family in Turkmenistan, and you notice that you never see the older daughter. She's always in the kitchen cooking or doing housework, and she doesn't eat together with the rest of the family. Why is this? Is it because A, the family do not want their precious firstborn daughter to mix with foreigners? B, the first daughter is always the least favoured in Turkmen families? Or C, it is traditional for the eldest daughter to do all the household chores? The next question is, would it be possible for you to get to know the daughter better? Or must you just accept that you won't be able to speak with her? We'll find out the answer from Zore, who's been organising Peace Corps placements for many years, and in a strand which I have to call absolutely intercultural.
Trainia said that her parents do not like that their older daughter will speak and befriend with her. She said that she observed that every time the elder daughter is in the kitchen, she doesn't eat with them, she doesn't sit with them. So she came complaining with this. And I explained to her that it's not because they do not want to be with you, because in our culture, all the house chores, the elder daughter does. And I recommend her to just observe who does all the cooking, washing, scrubbing, all these things. And actually, I realized this just after when I invited foreigners to my house, and they said, why your elder daughter is not with us? And after that, I understood that she was very busy in the kitchen, because in our culture, women in my age do not do anything. Only elder daughters or daughter-in-laws do these things. So that was, the first was culture specific. She saw that sister did not sit with her. Then I explained to her why, and then I said, go and help your sister if you want to be with her. So go and make this adaptation, self-knowledge. And if you help to your sister, she will spend more time with you, and you will learn more about our culture with her.
When we hear more from Zora in a moment, we'll find out how a Turkmen woman gets on in the United States. When people who don't have enough to survive are confronted by groups of strangers with access to seemingly unlimited amounts of resources, the problem of corruption often arises. Is this a problem Senia recognizes? And if so, how does she deal with it? Let's go absolutely ethical.
And you've mentioned yourself this word corruption at least three times already, yeah. And I was going to ask you about that. Is there any way that corruption, well, or how it manifests itself can be understood?
It's a lot of things. I haven't been exposed to a lot of corruption from the Western side of things, but there's a lot of corruption too.
Mm.
But I'm working very hands-on with my projects, and it's very small, and we only have the four projects in Kenya. And since, for instance, the crisis in Kenya after the elections on the 27th of December last year, I can feel that things have changed very much in Kenya, even though before, I don't even know how high a percentage of the population lived below the poverty limit, but it was a great deal. Now it's way worse.
Mm.
And people being paid as little as they are when they work a full-time job, having families, and now, for instance, food prices have risen 100%. It makes them just try to get whatever they can.
Mm.
And I've been stopped by the police now. It wasn't like that last year, but this year I'm getting stopped by the police all the time, who just will only let me drive on if I give them money.
Mm.
And it's basically, and I know why, it's because they earn 5,000 shillings a month, and you can't live for 5,000 shillings a month.
Mm.
I mean, I would say to live a reasonably decent life with a family, you must earn at least 13,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they just do it because they can. That's the police.
Yeah.
Or because somebody up from a higher place says, today I want a million shilling, go get it. You know, I don't know what happens, but something happens some days.
So it's not easy, really, to have this absolute principle of no corruption.
No, it's not. And it's a problem when I think about my concept 100% to the children, because this is one thing that is out of my hand, out of my hands. Because they will stop me and say, well, you can pay 10,000 now or 30,000 tomorrow, which do you choose? And I'm going to go for the 10,000. I have a car full of food here, you know, that I need to get out here.
Yeah.
So that kind of corruption is hard to get around.
Mm.
But corruption is also a way of life in Africa.
Mm.
A lot of the times when I've come to Africa, I keep getting surprised by the fact that they will sort of sit down and lean back and fold their arms across their chest and say, so how much money did you bring? You know, because they think we owe them. The West owes Africa. In a lot of ways we do. because we were the ones that messed it up to begin with.
Mm.
So they do think we owe them, and they are experts in getting funding from the West. Experts.
Back in Turkmenistan, Zora has been looking after American Peace Corps volunteers for many years and decided that she'd like to find out what it feels like to be a foreigner herself by going to the US for a month. How did she fare? Let's find out in Absolutely American.
I came here so excited, and I went there for 1 month just to visit my friends, my previous supervisors and the volunteers' families. And I wanted to have the same experience, what is to live in a foreign family or to be the foreigner. There were many things. For example, in the families where I have been, people asked me many, many questions. They opened their refrigerators and said, see, we have this kind of milk, this kind of tomato, this percentages of coffee, this kind of tomatoes. There were so long discussions if they wanted to give me just the breakfast, for example. And I was very surprised, and it took more time of discussion rather than just to prepare whatever they had. Because in our culture, we never ask. First of all, I was very surprised that I flight with a stopping in Istanbul for 20-something, about 30 hours. And when I came to America, my friends asked me, are you hungry? In our culture, never ever we ask this question, or whoever comes. And that's why I understood when I left, before I left, volunteers told me, Zohra, if people ask you once, do you want to eat or are you hungry, say yes, because it's not Turkmenistan. Because here we do not ask at all. We just serve what we have, whatever we have, everything what we have, we put on the table. That's all. And that was confusing for me when people ask, are you hungry? And also this thanks to everybody, to everyone, and this, because in our culture, even we do not have this word, please. We are sure that if it's my parents or if it's my children, we just have to do to help each other without any words like, be so kind, would you do this for me? That was hard to me also. For example, when I entered the bus or the shop, the driver or the sellers told, hi, how are you this morning? I turned back and I was looking with whom she was talking. Then I realized that she faced to me because there were nobody except me. And that is a big difference from our culture. We never greet or smile in the street. Yes, in the street we definitely do not smile to each other because it will be danger. This is what we say to our volunteers. Don't smile and talk with the drivers. They will think that you are easy going. Yes. Or, for example, in our bus, all women and girls sit in the front, and all men, boys in the second, in the end of the bus. And in America, I saw that everybody were there. And also diversity. This a big diversity here. We have many other nations like Tatars, Russians, Ukraine, Armenian people, and we definitely know that they are not Turkmen. That they are not Turkmen. They are Armenian. However, all their life and all their five generations are living here. But in America, yes, I was kind of surprised that all of them or all of you are Americans, whatever you are, original. And here, trainee volunteers have this big problem because when they see Asian people or Hispanic or African people, they ask, oh, who are you? And they say, I'm American. And they said, no, you are not American. You are African or Japanese, and volunteers are mad with this, and we explain to them, because here we are Turkmen, all the Turkmen are Turkmen, and the rest of people have their own nations, but they, all their life they live in Turkmenistan. This is a big difference also.
So remember that this all started with an email to us here at contact@absolutely-intercultural.com. So if you have any comments or suggestions, then don't hesitate to drop us a line, or you could leave us a comment on the blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. So now we'll go back to Kenya one more time to find out what the concept of 100% to the children really means.
How can you manage that? How can you promise that?
Well, I can because I believe it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason number two for making this organization, number one was that I couldn't get the other organization to go somewhere where it was urgent that we went right now. Number two is, why didn't I try another organization? Why didn't I try one of the Danish charities? And why didn't I try to get people to give money to Kibrani through them? Because I don't think there's anybody who does it well enough. I'm very conscious that I have to be aware of how I'm doing this with regards to the concept, because 100% to children means 100% to children. And then I don't care if it's the bank transfer and exchange fees that takes away the money, if the money's from the sponsors, or if it's the corruption in Africa, or if it's the corruption in Europe. I have to find a way to cover it all so that if you give 100 kronas, they will go uncut to the children.
Nicaragua is a small country with a population roughly the same as Denmark's, but with much lower living standards, partly as a result of the civil war in the 1980s. So when Nicaragua's ambassador to Denmark, Mr. Ricardo Nogueira, paid a visit to our school in Greno, his perspective was absolutely interconnected.
I think the population today is almost... world population, I think, 6 billion? 6 billion people, yeah. So do not forget that 80% of these 6 billion are the poor countries.
Oh.
Are in Africa, okay? Latin America, Asia. No. So it's a lot of very poor people out there. Do not forget that. And this is something that is well published. 1.5 billion, so almost 2 billion people now are living on $1 or less a day.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know, it's a huge challenge there.
Yeah.
And the only way to address these problems and to get solutions, better solutions, is to work together. So we have to avoid, we have to try to because it's a lot of conflicts, you know. You read newspapers and watch TV every day and listen to the radio, and you see that there's a lot of problems everywhere, you know. It's a lot of conflicts and violence and all. So we have to improve, to work harder, you know, in this dialogue and this consensus, and try to approach solutions for everybody. Because if you are safe in Denmark, you will be safer if Africans or Latin America or people from any poorer countries, you know, are also safe.
Yeah.
On that international note, that's it for this show. Thanks to those of you who got in touch about the new language learning websites. I'm still working on that and will be bringing that show to you as soon as possible. I'm also intending to follow up on Senior's Chaos Pilot qualification, and I hope to be able to feature more from the Nicaraguan ambassador. Let us know if you have any good intercultural stories to share. The next show will be brought to you by Laurent Borgmann in Germany on the 28th of November. So in the meantime, stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.